Gentlemen, welcome to the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. I am joined with my other host, Phil Vichinanza. Phil, we're back once again. Another week, another podcast, another great guest, and we're here to rock and roll tonight. It's going to be a great show. We're kicking it old school tonight once again. Always a great time getting our old school guests on. And Phil, I mean, it kind of gives it away who our guest is. Look at your shirt. Show everyone your shirt. Got the Hawaiian Punch shirt on. There you go. So, you know what? We're going to get right into it. I'm going to let you introduce our guest tonight.
Man, you came out full head of steam there, Vincent. Our guest here tonight, if you've been following along with the podcast, you've seen and heard him before. He's made some cameo appearances on a couple other episodes. But tonight, he's here telling his story in his own words. There's no outside interference that's coming along here. And he has something pretty special to share later on the broadcast. You know, we love kicking it back old school, and tonight we're doing just that with our guest from the Hawaiian Punch Monster Truck, Tim Delaney.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
Tim, welcome to the show tonight. How are you doing tonight?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. We've got a real mic thing going on again, like we talked about. Happy New Year from Reno, Nevada. Glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on board, Tim. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm not Chewbacca, but I come in peace.
I can't understand what you're saying there, Phil. Like I said, just like a Chewbacca thing going on. Let me know how we can fix it.
All right. Well, let me hop out, Vincent.
There
get
you
the
go.
Show rolling here.
No, you're there now.
Okay. I'm here now. Everybody's here now. So we're going to get right into it. Vincent, go ahead.
All right. We're going to start it out with our first question, Tim. I ask this every night. How did you get your start in motorsports? Tell us how that all happened.
That happened back when I was about 13 years old. I got involved with a friend of mine's dad. It was a mechanic, and I started building Jeeps and other things and motors. And then we can fast forward and go to 79-80 when I started in mud bog trucks. And friend of mine, Rance Maynard, if anybody's tuning in and knows Rance, God, I'd love to find him. He's somewhere in California down by King City. But he built a mud bog truck, and so we started doing that, and we ran that from 82 to 84. That's when I met Brian Cardiff with Cardiff Giant, and they came to Fresno, and I drove in my blue Dodge pickup that had about a 12-inch kit on it, 40s, and they came over, and we started talking, and the next thing you know, we were down at a shop south of Fresno. They had blown up both lockers in the 5-tons, and Rance and I were mechanics, and we'd worked on 2.5-ton military axles and 5-tons, and they made us a bet that they could tear apart the front end before we could do the back end. And we had, it was a case of beer or something. I don't remember. It was pretty funny. We ended up winning and changed the pumpkin out before they even had the pumpkin out of the front. So then I went to work for Brian with Cardiff Giant for about a year and a half, and was a crew chief on it and did all the wrenching and made sure everything worked and was ready for the show, did displays and all that. And then Brian sold Cardiff Giant to Seth Dalton and Golden State down in L.A. And about 6 months later, he called me and said that we're going to do another truck. So Brian and I, Brian called me and we came up to Reno, Nevada. We built that truck with, I think, 12 other guys in 19 days. And so that's a little short version of how I got into it. I was in the right place at the right time.
So let's go into more detail on that. How did you acquire Hawaiian Punch?
Brian, well, the first thing was it was going to be called Nestle's Crunch. There was two names. It was Nestle's Crunch and Hawaiian Punch. And Del Monte owned the rights to Hawaiian Punch at that point. And then that was Brian's decision. Brian went to them and said, this is what they want, what we want to do. And they were receptive to it and said, okay, you would laugh at the sponsorship. We rode just like the rest of the old school guys from 84, 85, all the way up to 87. We didn't have any sponsorship. The only sponsorship we had was Amsoil. They sponsored the oil for the blown motor. Del Monte and Hawaiian Punch didn't give enough to put fuel in the car for the total thing. So that's how Brian did that. And that'd be a good question for Brian, but and he's a good PR guy.
So let's talk about the first Punch truck. Give me some specs on this thing. You know, what motor did it have in it? How big were the tires? Just stuff like that. I know some of our newer viewers listening might not know, you know, some of the specs that some of the older trucks used to run. So tell us about that.
It was an 84 Chevy truck. Brian and I picked it up in Fremont, California, when we trucked it up to Reno. It ran 5-ton military top loads, just like everybody else was running. We didn't run planetaries back then. Some people were starting to do planetaries in late 86. We decided not to. It was fun to go to people that I know now here in Reno, since I transplanted from Fresno. Sonny Jones, we went over to look at motors, and Brian and I walked into his shop, and as a young kid, I was drooling over these blown motors. And so Brian looked at me and said, you know, what do you think? And I said, we just need reliability. We need something that's going to run every weekend and something we don't have to mess with all the time. So we ended up with a 540 cubic inch blown motor, run about 5 to 8%. And it probably produced about 940 horses, maybe 1,000. Ran 66 inch tall tires, 43-25. Same as everybody's running now, but we were running Firestones, and we were one of the first people to run Firestones back in early 87. Everybody was still running Goodyears. Brian worked out, obviously probably worked out a deal with Firestone, and we ran Firestones. We liked them better. They curved better. So, ran 43 inches of lift on that truck. I know I've supplied you guys with some pictures that nobody's ever seen because I've owned those since for 100 years now. I think it had 43 inches of lift when we were done. And it was a great truck. It, wherever it went, everybody loved it. No matter what, if it was Hawaiian Punch and the kids loved Hawaiian Punch, it was just the paint scheme really stuck out.
And for those listening at home, make sure you like and share tonight's podcast so everyone can hear the story of Tim Delaney. But, you know, I'm going to go on my next question. Do you remember the first car crush or show you did with Punch? How did that go for you?
Oh, that was Placerville, outside of California there. Brian had called me when there's a story that goes up to this. And when we once we built the truck, we had to take off to Canada and we went to BC Place. I used to call it BC Dome, but I think it's BC Place. And it, we hadn't even tested the truck and it had some issues and stuff. So anyway, when we came back, we can go into that another time. When we came back, I had some things I had to take care of. So I took about a month off. And then Brian called me when we came back. And I, Placerville, California, there's about 10,000 people or something. And we had a great time. Dave Matthews, a great promoter out here, Zizek Motorsports. He asked me what I was going to do. And he told me, you know, go over the cars this way, go over this way, and then get out and wave at the crowd. And well, I went over the cars this way and I went over the cars this way. And then I turned around and came sideways over them towards the crowd. And then I did a backwards wheelie and he was really kind of mad at me at that point, but I had fun.
So, you know, getting started driving, was there a moment that, I mean, a rookie mistake moment that you had? I mean, was there any time that went wrong for you getting started out in driving?
Probably, you know, back then, as old school as we were chaining the cars together. Everybody else wasn't. We were actually taking chains and chain binders and we were putting the cars together. I think I came a little cocky at a couple other shows where I turned around and came back and to go sideways and I or lengthwise, and I really didn't look at where the tires were. San Bernardino comes up to mind. I finally ended up using most of the horsepower or punch on that, and I launched it pretty good and broke the kingpin off the driver's side of the front axle. That was about the only time that I really didn't take my time to really see where I was. But then after that, I was a little more, I was only 23 years old at that point.
So we're going to take a look at some fan comments here and make sure you're asking some questions for Tim tonight. We have a comment here from Dustin's below, and he says, I like Tim's shirt. Looks like we got a lot of Rush fans out here. And Derek J. Fout said, makes me happy he's a Rush fan.
Well, yeah, I've been a Rush fan since 76. Saw 30 concerts. We were sad to lose Neil last year, so I'm glad that there's some Rush fans that are Monster Truck fans out there, because I'll wear this till the end of days.
We have one last comment from Levi Shones, and he asked, so is Hawaiian Punch your favorite drink?
Sure. I still drink Diet Pepsi. I would drink Hawaiian Punch all day long. I still think it's good. I was laughing at that intro you guys put on there where it was a nice Hawaiian Punch where the guy punched the other guy. I don't know if that would work in this today and day and age. Yes, Hawaiian Punch rules.
That's kind of where I was going to lead into, because I know Hawaiian Punch is such a unique brand and it has a lot of brand recognition. I know you had a lot of fun with the truck. Were there any like key fun moments representing the Hawaiian Punch brand for what it was?
We did a lot of Make-A-Wish Foundation back then. And we must have done four or five of those. And there would be 100 Make-A-Wish kids there. And I learned the first time we did this, we did it first in, I think, Merced. And I don't know if any of you have ever lifted a kid out of a wheelchair that weighs 90 pounds dead weight. So you're going to lift him up into the truck. And so I learned my lesson after doing that for 8 hours. So the next time we did another Make-A-Wish Foundation, I found three of the biggest guys I could find. And I said, I'll, you know, pay you $50 a piece. And they just thought that was wonderful. And then after they were done, they all said that, wow, how do you do this? So the Make-A-Wish Foundation, anything for kids, Brian and I were always 100% on with that.
So, you know, Brian Cardiff is such a is a name a lot of the old school monster truck fans know and remember. And you've explained kind of how you met Brian and got to work be around him. What was it like working with Brian on a weekly basis for the most part?
He's a great guy. He developed so many different things before monster trucks. There was the Stretchmaster, the Cardiff Stretchmaster that the Punter Ray guy used. There was a couple other that we'll maybe talk about later about the balloon launcher that he also made. But he was a jack of all trades, and it was neat to work for him. You know, obviously working for people, you have your ins and outs, but I never had a problem with Brian. We talk about every month on different issues and things. And he doesn't live very far. He lives down outside of Discovery Bay somewhere in California, which is 3-4 hours. He was a great guy. And, he started, they did a thing on him in New York, the Washington Post or something. He talks about it. It was back in 83 when he first built Cardiff Giant. So Brian's been around a long time, and no matter what you do in this industry, as long as you are there and make it for the fans and make it for the kids and have a great time, and that's what we did. And our shows were 3 hours long, and the only lull in the show was maybe 10 or 15 minutes to set up the cars. So this was well before it was just obstacle, racing side by side or monster jam kind of stuff. This was part of the tractor pull, mud bog, and then car crash. So Brian Carr's a great guy.
So what were some of the big events that you competed in? There's a lot of events. We've seen a lot of Hawaiian Punch. What was maybe the biggest event that you competed in?
Well, competed and been the showliner are a couple different things. So showliner, BC Dome, BC Place, there was probably 30,000 people there when we first brought Punch out. That was the first night that Robbie Knievel jumped cars. There was a mud bog, a tractor pull, was all thing, and then Monster Truck came out and crushed. That's the way things were back in the early days. Then when we started to get out, it started to become an obstacle course race. It really wasn't side by side like they were doing in the East. It was a course, and you ran around it, jumped cars, and came around, and they did a time thing on it. There's lots of shows that come out in my mind. LA Coliseum, Cow Palace, filled seats, sold out. But you always came out at the end of the tractor pull and all that. And then when Brian decided to sell, that was about the time that it started to become more obstacle course and side-by-side racing. We got out just before all that really got really famous.
So I got asked, I heard you talk about, some of the new school stuff and the old school stuff. So I got to ask, what are your thoughts on, modern day monster trucks compared to what you were doing back then?
Everything has to evolve. Everything. Oh, this is funny. Hold on. Look at this.
Oh, man. There you go.
Lori just gave that to me. I don't want to look at how old it is. So everything evolves. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you build a motor, you want more power. If you have a stereo, you have whatever, it always increases because you need more power. You need to do so. We knew that the monster truck part was going to evolve, that it would go different, it would go further than what we did. You're talking old school leafers versus, I call them, modified buggies, and jumping 60, 70 feet in the air, whatever they're doing. I think it's wonderful. As long as they do what they give a show to the crowd and they give a show to the kids, that's it. It's all driven by fan appreciation. So you either do your job or you don't. And I don't have a comment on anything else other than that. I think that I think we did a better job back in the day. But like I said, everything evolves into something better and bigger and faster, and it had to go somewhere. Nobody really wanted to see a truck just do a wheel stand after a tractor pull. So it had to get to the point where we were jumping cars in 86, 87, but we weren't jumping them like they were in the 90s, and then it just kept evolving. That makes sense.
Well, it's all evolution of the sport, and it's so important, especially when you look what we're doing now compared to what was going on then. And, you know, did it ever cross your mind back then to build a truck to maybe build it differently than what was running at that current time? You guys really stuck to those couple trucks and then later on with Seth and everyone. But did you ever kind of have that in your mind to try something different back then?
Absolutely. When Brian sold the truck, I came back and actually hooked up with Jim Oldacre and picked up a set of axles that he had. I had a sponsor at that point, and we were going to build another truck. And at that point, we were looking at other frame designs. We were trying to make it, you know, for you guys that have never driven a Leaf truck with 40 inches of lift, there's no suspension. We were hoping for the tires to take most of the hit. So we were always looking for some way without running blocks that we could drop everything that didn't look out of proportion, and that would ride better over the cars. And Bigfoot always had that dialed up. All of their trucks really worked very well. I didn't really know Dennis Anderson that well, but his trucks worked really well also. We wanted something that rode better, that would ride better over the cars and not kill us. And so, yeah, we were always looking for something different.
Man, Tim, we can hear your dog in the background. How's the dog doing?
God, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, he's 12. Yeah, he's getting to his point. We lost his brother 5 years ago. He still goes out to the yard and lays down where his black lab brother laid out there. So, yeah, that's another story. He's a great dog, a great hunting dog.
Yeah. So, you know, the Hawaiian Punch truck, we talk about the branding. If you can, get into the specifics on how that partnership worked or maybe didn't work. You know, what were some of the inner workings to put the name Hawaiian Punch on the truck?
As far as I know, Brian would have to answer any of that other questions, but as far as I know, we never had a problem with a Hawaiian Punch name. Since Brian, and like I was saying, it was going to be Nestle's Crunch. I think somebody actually did that, but I don't think it ever came out. But as far as the Hawaiian Punch, we never had any problem with the name or dealing with them or anything at all. And like I told you, we had done a video shoot where it was us old people will remember the Donnie and Marie go Hawaiian, and they would be on a boat. And then it was a video of them, and then it went to the Hawaiian Punch funny car doing a burnout. And then the little guy like you had on a deal walks over and says, "Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian Punch?" And he punches the screen, and it's Brian jumping cars. And that never came out. I don't know whatever happened to that. If somebody has that video, let me know.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. So, you know, you're running with Brian. You know, it's the two of you guys there. Who were some of the people that you were competing against or performing in the events with?
Oh, jeez. Come to mind, I'd have to think back to your podcast. It would be Bruce Gault, Mike Welch, Jeff Boehner, Vince Cole, David Don't So High, Bigfoot. We did shows with Rich Hooser and Ken Keeling, and the list goes on. I the big show was 87 when we did Jack Murphy Stadium. I think there was every monster truck that was ever out at that point. You could meet them all day long and remember their face, but you wouldn't remember their name. A lot of shows with Bruce Gall, Boehner, Welch, Jimmy Reese, and Seth Dalton did a lot. Todd Blazer, a lot of kudos to him for driving Punch after we got rid of it. He was a great guy. And just a lot of really, really good people.
What advice, did any of those people give you any good advice from over the years?
Yeah. Growing up, a lot of guys gave me advice. That's why I'm wearing a small hearing aid right now. Because when I was tuning blown motors when I was 15, 16 years old, the old guys always told me that, you know, make sure you wear earplugs. And I couldn't tune a motor that way or adjust the valves. So I thought they were crazy. And at 57 years old now, I know they were true. So a lot of guys gave me a lot of advice. Monster truck-wise, you just step into it. It's not something that you it's something that you learn, but you know, the first time I crushed cars, Brian Cardiff dropped me off at a show and said, call me when you're done. And I just looked at him. You know, I'd driven Cardiff Giant and I'd driven Punch, but when you have a brand new truck and you're going over cars, you'd be kind of nice if he was there, but that's kind of throw you to the wolves. That's the way most of us learned back then. And so, yeah, I've got tons of advice from a lot of people. Thinking about who it was, that's hard to come up with right now.
Well, we got another fan question here from Lori Mays. And they said, what are good stories with Bruce Gault, Jeff Boehner, and others? So I guess we'll start. Do you have any good Bruce Gault stories?
You guys remember my thing when I came on when Bruce was here. Bruce and I met in 84 down in Bakersfield, and we had a mud bog truck at that point, and him and I have been friends ever since. He was in my wedding. Bruce and I go too far back. Always been like a brother to me, and we did a show down in San Bernardino, and there was a hotel that was owned by a Hawaiian gal, and she had two huge Samoan sons, and we were up there and we had no towels, and Bruce went and turned on the shower, and there was no hot water, and I'd already been down and seen these guys, and these two sons were like, they were like 6'6", 6'7". He was 350-pound guys. And I went up and said something to Bruce, and Bruce goes, I'll go take care of it. And his wife, Jean, at that point, she goes, oh, God. And I said, just let him go. And he went into the door, and he wasn't in there more than 10 seconds, and he comes running out. It was so funny. And who was the other name, Bruce? Oh, Jeff Boehner. Jeff's always been a great guy. Jeff loves the B-52s. Don't let him tell you he doesn't. I burned that out with him when he came to Fresno in 88. We played the Love Shack by the B-52s. He loves that. He'll tell you that I'm full of stuff, but I know it's true. Jeff Boehner, great guy. You can't ask for a better built Jeeps and monster trucks that he had, and he was always top notch. Whoever drove for him, Debbie, I think, was a gal that drove hot stuff. He drove high voltage. A lot of good shows with him. Mike Welch, like I said, Mike is a unique gentleman that if you were as lucky as I was to know him in the early 80s, he would show up to every show in coveralls or overalls and no shirt and just say, what's going on? And that was basically what it did. So high guys were all good. Vince Cole, there's tons of them out there. Rich Hooser, Bigfoot, I mean, what can you say? Stand-up guys, back in the 80s, everybody was everybody's friend.
A lot of friendly competition out there, and you know, especially at that time, there were so many unique trucks on the circuit. You know, you're known for Hawaiian Punch, but were there any opportunities where you got to drive other monster trucks?
Once I probably can't talk about, and that includes the big B. So we'll probably not go there. I was, you know, lucky enough to drive Barbarian. I was lucky enough to drive some other trucks, and definitely a bunch of mud bog trucks that were big names back then. And I was lucky enough to do that at that point. But now we pretty much stuck to ourselves. You know, we helped everybody out just like they helped us. But we didn't really ask to drive other trucks. I had the opportunity to do that after Brian sold. But I thought I would go ahead and do my own. And that didn't work out. And I just decided that I would get married and become a father and strike it up another time.
So you mentioned the mud racing and with the mud trucks. I obviously, we know maybe some of the visual differences, but what's the biggest difference from what you noticed between a mud truck and a monster truck during that time?
Oh, the mud trucks really weren't built to go over cars. They were built for speed for 500 feet, whatever it was, except for I'd have to say the Toy and So High 1 and 2. They were all airbag trucks back then for mud bogs. And they turned them into monster trucks. They could actually go over cars. Remember, back then, we weren't jumping cars. We weren't hitting them at 40 miles an hour. We were coming up to them at 15, 20 miles an hour, doing a wheel stand, getting up on top and driving over. But I would have to say your question, the biggest difference would be the frame that was built for that, even though there were several out there that had converted from mud bog to monster truck. And they were mostly airbag trucks.
So when Brian sold off the trucks and you stepped into the foray of trying to build your own, I know you just said it didn't work out, but how far along did you get in the process of trying to do your own thing?
I had the axles, I had the wheels and tires. I didn't have the frame. I was getting ready to build that. And I had promoted this thing for about 6 months. And when you're 24 years old and you can decide if you want to go one way or the other. I went back to building motors that I made nothing but money at. So I went back to that. And that's when Terry Woodcock, he came to Fresno and picked up those axles. I'd gotten them from Jim Oldacre. And I was going to use them under the truck. But I had a sponsor guy set up. There was a big business guy. And he all of a sudden decided he didn't want to do it. So. And at 24 years old, I didn't have $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 to put into a truck. So I just decided to go back to the common worker.
So you mentioned a guy we've had on our podcast a couple times. That was Terry Woodcock. So do you have any good Terry stories?
Terry's a one-of-a-kind guy. You don't have many people out there like that. Terry's the guy who gave you the shirt off his back. Like I made a couple comments on some posts he's put on Facebook. We used to show up in the mud bog truck, and we'd see Unnamed and Untamed, or we'd see Cyclops. We knew it was going to be a long day. We didn't have the big motors like they did, but the greatest guys, Terry... You can't say enough about Terry. If you don't like Terry, there's probably something wrong with you, because Terry doesn't really make anybody angry or mad. He's, like I said, he wants to help everybody and wants to be everybody's friend. And he's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and I appreciate his friendship. He's a great guy.
A lot of great times with Terry, indeed, and a lot of great times on the road. But now it's time to do a little pivot here, move on to our next segment. Vincent, what do we call this segment?
Call that segment Explain That Photo. So let's kick it off. However, tonight, it's not only going to be Explain That Photo, it's going to be Explain That Video. Thanks to Timber for providing us with some videos tonight. For those listening on audio only, we'll do our best to describe everything. But let's go up with our first photo. Here it is.
Oh, that's 1987 in Fresno. That's when I came back from, we did a show in LA, and I came by so my grandmother could see the truck, and she was scared. She gave me a really bad time about that. She was 88 years old.
Got the next picture or video? Which one's next?
Do the pictures first.
All right.
Yeah, that's the same weekend we were. Yeah, I came home. It was my father's birthday, and I brought the truck down. I didn't have pictures. We wide loaded that. We put the tires on it, and we did a party for him at a local park. And I had to get clearance from the Fresno PD to let me drive it on the street. I don't know if we actually got that or not. I just know that I was driving down the main street of Fresno, and they kind of showed up, but they left after that.
Got another one here.
Okay, that's Bruce Galtz. That's Barbarian. That's the original Barbarian. That's 1984. The middle is my 67 Dodge pickup that I built in 81, 82. And then on the right of that is Stomper Toyota that Rance Minyard built. That was one with the 2.5 tons that I towed around California and Oregon and Washington for mud bogs. That was that had a Stroker 383 motor in the bed. We were one of the first people that put motors in the bed right behind the cab. It was about a foot off. We should have put it more into the cab. It was a little far back, but it worked.
Now we're going to go into some videos. Maybe you can shed more light on some of these videos. We'll start out with the first one.
So they pitted Brian and I against each other. They said that that I had never driven before and this and that. And they got the crowd all involved. And we tried to get the cars to be sideways, but because they had to drag them in and drag them out one way, they said, we can't do that. And they were concerned that the wall was too close. We had a good time that night. We ended up playing a joke on the promoter and told him that after he told us that the other truck couldn't show up, we waited about an hour, and there was this big loud bang outside of Arco Arena, and everybody was wondering what it was. So I told Brian, I said, hey, why don't we tell the promoter that Punch just blew its motor and see what he does. And so the video I showed you that I sent you earlier, where we're all standing there, that's what we're telling him, is that we blew the motor in Punch and we're not going to be able to do the show. And you should have seen his face. It was really priceless.
Yeah, one more video for you. Once it's over, please explain it to us. This is an interesting video.
Thank you. Definitely a great truck. It was too bad we couldn't put the car sideways.
Man, Tim, I hate to tell you there, but your audio was muted. So if you could tell that story again, we'd appreciate it.
Are we there now?
Yes. So go ahead and explain what that video was.
That was when they pitted Brian against me at Arco Arena, and the other monster truck didn't show up. And so they decided to say that I had never driven the truck, and they pitted Brian and said, can Tim do a better job? And you guys can hear the audio and all that. But we had a great time that night. We tried to get them to do the car sideways, but they wouldn't do it because of dragging them in and out. There was only one way into Arco Arena and one way out. So they wouldn't put the car sideways. And then they said that it was – I tried to get – when I went over them the last time, and when you guys have time, you'll listen to the audio. It says, Tim, one more time. I had asked them to move the tables over by the announcer, and I was going to pull over there, and I was going to go sideways over the cars towards the crowd. And, oh, no, that wasn't going to happen. I had a couple people come over and give me this. So, anyway, that was a great night. I had a lot of fun. We had a... You'll see the video. There's a bunch of guys walking around with cameras. The San Francisco Chronicle, there was a little magazine they put out once a month or whatever it was, and they sent three or four guys to follow Brian and I for a week. And by the end of the week, Brian and I were like wanting to get rid of these guys because they wanted to know everything we were doing, what time we would do this, what time we would do that. And but they ended up having a really great time. I don't know if it was called the Inquirer or something, but somewhere in my vast boxes of stuff, I have that. If I ever get that, I'll send it to you guys. It was kind of fun, but you'll see in the video where they're walking around on the side of the track, and they were just all over us. And they're carrying my gold-plated snap-on jacket, that silver one that somebody stole a week later that was given to me in my snap-on. That was a bad day.
Well, Tim, you have some big news to share here with us on the podcast. And if you guys are listening live or whenever, now's the time to not only tune in, but make sure you share this video all across social media, because this is some pretty big news. We're all about telling a lot of stories here, and especially the past, present in monster trucks on the West Coast, but also the future. And I think Tim has something very special to share with all of us here tonight. So go ahead, Tim.
I was looking for the platform to do this, and Philip and Vincent have been good friends for a long time now, well, about a year. I think what they're doing is wonderful for you guys that are out there that are young, that want to be a monster truck driver. You want to do that, you know, always go after your dream. It's not going to come to you. So get involved with the sport, learn what they do, get involved with them, and learn the trade and get into it. But I am announcing that I am rebuilding Hawaiian Punch Monster Truck. I've been on it for about 8 months now. It's not the original. I don't want to hear a bunch of internet people. I've been looking for Hawaiian Punch for about 15 years. Last time it was seen was in 04 in Saudi Arabia, and I can't find it. So call it a clone, call it a tribute truck. That's what I call it. It will look exactly like Hawaiian Punch, except it'll be about 8 inches lower. It won't be as tall as Punch was because I'm getting too old to claw up in it. So I wanted to express that. I wanted to let you guys know that Hawaiian Punch will be living again in a tribute truck. So I hope you guys all look forward to that. If you have questions or concerns, you want to talk to me, you can always Facebook me or Messenger me. And I love to help new people out and help them do what they want to do and fulfill their dreams. I did this when I was 22 years old. I'm 57 now. So I will retire doing monster truck shows. And no matter how many times people say that the old school shows don't work, well, we'll see what happens. But Hawaiian Punch Tribute Truck's coming back, and I'm glad to share it on your show.
Well, you heard it right here. That's some big news. Phil, what do you think about that? I'm definitely excited.
I think that's incredible. We're Monster Truck fans at heart, and always see an old school name coming back, and definitely I think it's going to be in the right hands with Tim Delaney, and not only the right hands, but the right mindset, someone that's very passionate about the Hawaiian Punch and the legacy it leaves. And, you know, I'd have to ask you, Tim, why is now a good time to start this project?
I think because I'm going to retire in 2 years. I talked about doing this 10 years ago. Terry knew about this. And I want to say, for the 10 people, and most of them are in the Hall of Fame, I want to thank them for not saying anything, because I would have heard from somebody by now. We started doing this a long time ago, and I've always been too busy. I've never made time for myself. I've always been family racing. My son races. We've got tons of off-road racing going on, a bunch of desert racing going on. We have a normal life. We work 60 hours a week. And now that I'm moving forward towards retirement, I decided a year ago that we would go ahead and start this. But in the middle of doing desert truck racing and everything else, I don't have a lot of time. So I dedicate a day on the weekend or 2 days on the weekend to go up and do something. But this was my time, because I want to get out of what I'm doing, and I can retire fully at 59 and maybe 60. And then I can make kids happy again and bring back some of the old school stuff. So this is really working out well for me.
So with this tribute build, and in case you guys missed it, Hawaiian Punch is coming back. Tim Delaney is going to be the man recreating this classic monster. Is there going to be any big differences from the original Hawaiian Punch into what this tribute truck is going to be?
Well, Terry and I talked about that. We had to try and keep it as original as possible. Exact same body style, same paint job. There's no blocks. It's old school, crazy arc leaf springs. It's an old school leafer. The first part of this will be without planetaries on it. It'll just be normal 5 tons with upgraded axles. 540 cubic inch blown motor. I stuck to that. Same exact motor we ran in Punch. It'll look exactly the same. It depends on if I can find the bumpers that Punch had, the chrome bumpers, the double doubles in the back. I'm trying to do it as close to the way Punch looked. And the only difference, like I said, it's going to be 8 inches lower. It's not going to sit on top of the tires like Punch did. If I decide to do that, I'll do something different. I really didn't want to have to climb up too tall to do this. And I think it would look a little more proportional. Some guys will complain about that. That's fine. But old school leafer, big motor, and that wonderful Hawaiian Punch paint scheme. If I can work out the deal with Snapple, that's a whole other deal, because see, Snapple now owns Hawaiian Punch. So I put together a portfolio, and I have a couple people that work with Snapple down in LA and another one back in Texas. And I'm supposed to fly back end of this year or during the summer and have a meeting and plead my case and see if they'll. I'm not looking for any sponsorship. We're building this. I'm building this on our money. So I'm not looking for them to give me sponsorship on this. I just want to use the name for 8 or 10 years or whatever they'll give me. And we'll see what happens. But there's other unique names we can come up with that everybody's going to know what it is once it drives out. It doesn't have to have Hawaiian Punch on it. Once they've seen the paint scheme, it's all over.
Very exciting for Hawaiian Punch. So talking about the new Punch, you're rebuilding the tribute truck. You know, what are the plans for this truck? Is it just going to be a display truck, or Are you going to take it some places? Like, what's the plan for the new tribute truck?
We started out doing this as a we're going to do Make-A-Wish Foundation, Cancer Society, Bullying Against Children. We're going to do a lot of that stuff. We started out to be a nonprofit deal. The 3 years it takes to do that, we thought about that also. So we're really at a quagmire right now. We don't know what we're doing as far as promoting the truck. We know that we're going to do shows. So whether it be displays or whatever we do, we're just going to enjoy life after 60. And I've got enough kids that they can tow it around and set it up, and I just have to show up. It was kind of like Brian, you know, when I'd drive all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, or Chandler, and he'd fly in and say, I'm driving after I've been there for a week. And it'd be kind of like, well, I can do that for my kids now. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with old school shows. And like I said, there's a lot of people on the internet that say that old school shows won't work. And that's fine. But I've been asked for at least 15 years to bring back the old school mud bog, tractor pull, and a car crush. Some people may think it's boring, but we are going to jump. If you guys look back at the old videos where we were jumping cars, we weren't jumping a set of cars. We were jumping up on the first set of cars. I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to get now out of these old school leafers. We're not going to go out and destroy our trucks for you know, to sit there and have to work on them all the time. But I think that there's a lot of people out there that want to see it, and we'll see what happens. But you guys will be involved.
Definitely excited for that. And we have Gary Schott, another one of our past guests, in the comments. And Gary says, always liked the Hawaiian Punch, still liking the tires. So do you have any other Gary Schott stories while he's watching?
I always loved that. That guy was great. I did a lot of shows. I did a show in Reading with him, and he'll remember San Bernardino. But yeah, he has the original tires from Hawaiian Punch. I was going to chime in on his deal when he was doing your guys' podcast, because I wanted to tell him to tell the funny story about how he had a trailer full of tires, and they went off the side of the road somewhere on a freeway. And he'd have to answer that, but he has the original tires off of Punch. No, those definitely lasted him a long time. He's a great guy.
Yeah, great guy indeed. You know, Tim, we're so excited that you get to really give it a second chance and really have a lot of fun with this new tribute truck and continue on the memories that you built from the original days. And I would like to know, do you have any regrets from back then that you think that maybe with the new truck that you can get another chance at?
If it wouldn't break an axle, yeah. The one thing that did happen, we did a show for Mickey Thompson before he passed away, was at the LA Coliseum, and we had a four-wheel drive company in California that wanted to put an alternator on the blown motor. We didn't run an alternator because we ran a magneto. So once we hit the mag, it ran everything, and they had the truck for a couple weeks. They said they wanted to put an alternator on it, and Brian and I both told them to make sure that that alternator doesn't flex when we go over obstacles and stuff. And it really wasn't done that well, and they didn't charge the rear steering battery. So when I came out the turnstile at the LA Coliseum, I had come in there and I had no rear, took the belt off the motor, the power steering belt they put on, it flexed when I drove up the turnstile. And so the power steering belt came off. So I had no power steering. I was stuck inside that big archway, if you look at the LA Coliseum. And I kept going back and forth, and they didn't had no battery charge in the rear steering. So I couldn't get out of there, and the motor was getting about 210. Mickey walks over, his guy comes over to me, and I said, dude, you got to move these hay bales. And he's like, I don't hit my hay bales. And they were like $40 to rent. I don't remember what they were. Mickey walked over and asked me what the problem was. And I said, I'm getting about 220, 230, and I got to get out of here. So I'm going to take a big chunk out of the turnstile, and I'm going to take about 30 of your hay bales with me. And he goes, do what you got to do. So that was the biggest embarrassment, I think, embarrassing time. Because one, we didn't get paid because the truck didn't show. And the other one, I had to actually, Steve Curcio gave me train fare to get home to Fresno after that. So that was a bad deal, but it'll get better.
Hey, Vincent, you got another one for us?
Yes, I do. Tim, what advice do you have for some of those up-and-comers, you know, looking to get in the business? What advice do you have for someone looking to get their foot in the door?
You know, I talk to a lot of people every month about that, and it's not the 80s anymore. So if you have a drive or a passion of something you want to do, get involved with it. Go out, learn all you can about it. Get a job on a crew, whether you're just changing tires or you're just a gopher, you know, go get this, go get that. Like I said, it's not as easy as it was in the 80s. I was in a lucky place at a lucky time. I ran into a right person and that moved on. Whether I would have gone any further after that, if I didn't meet them, I don't know. We were all building big trucks back then. I mean, I was building 8, 10, 12 inch lift kits in 80, 81, 82. So I would just tell the up-and-comers, learn all you can and get a job on a crew and learn what they have to do. And then if you learn it, then move on and do it yourself. But it all takes money. So if you're gonna play, you got to pay. But the best thing is to get in with the people that are doing it. Don't be shy. Go up, introduce yourself to whatever it is, off-road racing, monster trucks, snowmobile racing, whatever. If you have a passion to do something, go and meet the people that do it and see if you can help. And that's how you get your foot in the door.
Another quick shout out to Bruce Galt. He said Timmy was a great driver and worked hard at it.
Oh, he's kissing my butt right now. No, Bruce is a great guy. The only guy that I can't say enough about Bruce. He's like a brother, and he's always been a really, really great friend. And old story real quick. We were in Chandler, Arizona, and he had 48, so he was loaded up and ready to go. And the end of the show, it was starting to cloud up, and me and I had a friend of mine, I call him Lockdinger, and I told him not to jack up the jack too high or it would lock. And Bruce said, I'll catch you at the hotel or at the where we were going to eat. I said, okay, give me a half hour. And it started a monsoon. It actually started to rain. And it wasn't rain. It was a monsoon. And there was like 2 inches of water within 15, 20 minutes. And Lockdinger had jacked the jack up too tall. So I had to go and steal a forklift out of the fairgrounds lock deal. I had to go get one of those, bring it over. And Bruce, if it wasn't for Bruce coming back, I'd still be in Chandler, Arizona. Because Bruce left, him and Jim, I think Jim was with him, and waited like a half hour, 45 minutes. He goes, this is not like Timmy. He goes, something's wrong. So he came back to the fairgrounds, and we were still trying to put the tires on the back of the truck. And, I mean, it was like a flood. So I can't say enough about Bruce. Bruce has always been a really, really great friend, and he'll be involved in everything we're doing up here.
So what would you say was your favorite memory in the industry?
Making kids happy. It's nothing like seeing a kid that looks up and you're signing his shirt. As long as you put on a quality show, everybody's happy. A quality show is not something that you go out and you do 15, 20 minutes and then you turn around and have a half hour break. A quality show is 3 hours and maybe a 10 or 15 minute break in the middle. I think the the best part of it was making the kids happy, and the fact that they were excited about what you were doing and you were excited that they were there. We were entertainers. It's what we still are today. And we're here to entertain. So you do a good job. If you don't, then they're not going to come back. It's just too bad that COVID has taken from, you know, Monster Jam and these other smaller promoters that are still trying to do quality shows, and they can't, they're not able to do it because of the, you know, the COVID thing that you can't have people wherever. So everybody's going to have to go outdoors, and I guess we'll just have everybody sit 6 feet apart, and but it'll come back. Don't worry. You're not in a bad industry. Monster trucks are not gone. Monster trucks will always be here no matter what.
Hey, that's a spirit we love to hear, Tim. And, you know, we're so excited to see this new truck come to fruition. But I always like to ask every guest at the end of the podcast, you know, when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
That I helped out everybody that I can help out. That I was always a friend to a friend. And if you needed something, I was always there for you. I've always given everybody, I think if you ask Bruce and all the rest of them that I've been on here on, I would get the shirt off my back for any of those guys. And the nice thing about it is I made enough friends back in the day that those are actual friends that you would, if I called them and said I needed them, they'd be here tomorrow. That's the same way I am. My old school friends and even my new friends, if you make a pact with me and you need my help, I'll be there the next day. My legacy would be that I helped out as many people as I could, and I was a friend to everybody that I met.
That's what we love to hear. And I have one final question. It's actually in the comments. It's from my buddy Brian Anger. It's kind of a silly one because you are the man behind Hawaiian Punch. How many kinds of fruit are in Hawaiian Punch?
7.
There you go.
Hey, believe me, we had enough Hawaiian Punch cases. When we first did it, they actually filled the back of Hawaiian Punch with cases of Hawaiian Punch, and that was about it. So that's as far as I'm going. But I do want to thank both of you, because when you said you needed a picture of me with something on Monster Truck, I hadn't tried on that shirt for 33 years. And back then, I was 6'3", 205 pounds. I'm now 6'2", because as both of you get older, you do shrink. 6'2", 240 pounds. And I told Lori, I said, there's no way this is going to fit. And it fit. So now I don't have to worry about making another shirt with the new tribute truck, because I have the original. And thank you for, now the jacket, that's another thing. I don't know if I want to try that on. But the shirt, thank you guys, it fits.
That's what we do here. That's what we do. We're making memories and making it happen. One 33-year-old shirt at a time.
Kicking it old school.
That's what we do here, man. Tim, it's always a pleasure having you on here. Very honored to have told your story here on a solo podcast. I definitely know this won't be the last time you'll be on our podcast. I know we'll see you very soon, and hopefully with a lot of great news as you continue to get the brand new Hawaiian Punch rolling.
Well, like I said, I appreciate what you guys do. It's nice that you've done this yourselves. I'm surprised at Vincent's age, but it's okay. I won't hold that against him. But you guys are doing a great job. I know Bruce, I know everybody that I've talked to that's been on your cast. Think you guys are wonderful, and what you're doing is great. You're bringing back what we used to do. And that's why I wanted to share the part about Hawaiian Punch with you guys and your following. So I appreciate you guys, and anytime, I would love to be here. Thank you so much.
You got it, Tim. We'll see you very soon.
See ya.
Well, it's another great, exciting announcement here, exclusive on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. The Hawaiian Punch Monster Truck is coming back. It's got an old school twist with a little new school love. Tim Delaney is going to be behind the build. going to be just like the old days, just for a brand new crowd out there. And we can't wait to see it. Hopefully it's very soon. And I know we'll have Tim back on down the line with some more information, I'm sure.
Definitely an honor having Tim on. And it was an honor helping make the announcement that Hawaiian Punch is coming back. So make sure to share and like this podcast so everyone can hear Tim's story. It was an awesome time. And you know what? We're not slowing down, and we're going to keep on rolling, as we always say. You know what? I'm going to hand it over to Phil now. This is the part of the show where Phil just blabbers on about all wherever we're at, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. Your job, Phil. Go.
No, you got it, man. I mean, if you're listening to us on audio only, that's awesome. Wherever you can find the podcast, on any podcast provider, that's like your Apple Podcast, your Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcast, Stitcher. We're on all those platforms and so much more. It's the widest distribution for any Monster Truck podcast. So you can listen to us audio only, in the car, at the gym, wherever. If you want to rewatch this episode of Live Here Forever on Facebook, you can also check out some of our past episodes on our video tab, live podcast episodes. You know, Tim, tonight was his solo episode. We featured Tim. He was on our Saloon Sit Down 1 episode, and he was also made a cameo appearance on Bruce Galt's episode. So if you want to hear some more from Tim, he tells a lot more stories than some of the other past episodes. And again, you know, he's going to be back on here down the line, especially more as that new Hawaiian Punch materializes. So if you want to spread the news about that new truck, we definitely love it. Make sure you share this podcast video across social media. Let everybody know the Hawaiian Punch is coming back, and Tim Delaney is going to be the man behind the machine. And as always, we're not slowing down here. Next week, we're going to hopefully have something very special for you once again as we continue to tell a lot of different stories. You know, Tim makes a very good point. We like to bring back the old school, but it's not just the old school. We have a lot of great modern guests that we've had on, and a lot of rising stars, a lot of different facets of the industry. And we hope
to continue the West Coast far and
wide. Far and wide. We hope to continue to tell a lot of those stories as we keep going on from all capacities. We're not slowing down. We're not done yet. And make sure you tune in next week for what's going to be a very fun episode, fingers crossed, of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.